I just have a question. First of all, I appreciate what you said, and I agree wholeheartedly. I have a question and then also a follow-up after. My question is, should a babe in Christ take a course to learn of other religious groups? Is that advisable for a babe in Christ to do
I
that?
wouldn't recommend it.
Well, my follow-up to that is this. Back in Indiana, a number of years ago, I had taken a course called the Cult Controversy. Just dealt with different groups, trying to learn more about these groups and their mindset and what they were thinking. Involved individuals such as Jim Jones and People's Temple and the 900 people who committed suicide in Jonestown, and also David Koresh of Waco, Texas. There's two things that I got out of that course. First of all, I learned that Jim Jones was from Indiana, and that really bummed me out for the rest of the semester, I'm going to tell you. But the second thing I learned was that the Church of Christ was listed as one of those cults, and that's the mindset of the people of the world. And for a babe in Christ to hear that kind of teaching can be very detrimental to their soul.
Right. That's really interesting because there's a young man who is attending with us now and is a member of the church now. And I studied with him quite a while, and he married one of our young women. And he's always talking to his mother about the church, who is basically anti-religious, although not a professed atheist. But she's always calling us a cult, and that really bothers him a lot. And yes, that's the mindset of a few. Right.
I had one question. You're saying that we should avoid listening to the theological scholars of the world. If that is the case, then what is your recommendation for religious books? Would it be good to avoid those, or just to find ones that do not contradict any of our teachings? Any recommendations on that?
Sometimes we get so generalized that we get ridiculous. Check with Nathan and George on the books. I'm not going to say no, you don't do that. I say check with an older preacher or someone you trust and respect about books you need to read. I say get grounded in the faith before you start branching out to others, and then you may decide you want more information. The only way, George is able to refute a lot of these false doctrines is that he reads about them. Obviously, he has to do that. So, yes, it happens. And but for those who are younger, I ask, what books should I read? And I was told the books that will ground in the faith. And that's the recommendation. Ask an older church leader or preacher and get a recommendation of books you need to be reading now. You will know when to branch out and if you want more information about a particular topic. And I want to say, too, I am not teaching. I told you in the beginning, I'm giving you information. I am not saying, you are sinning if you take a Greek course. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm not saying you're sinning if you take a history of something. I am saying we need to, for our basic religious training, we need to go to those among us who are well grounded in the faith. Then if we branch out and take a course somewhere, which most of you have done, I think, you're ready to deal with it, and you have a specific purpose for going, and you're not going to sit at the feet of this person and accept the doctrine that he's going to impose on you. That may sound like a cop-out, but I don't mean to.
Brother Joe, I think you're right. It's unwise to for parents to send their children to some of these universities and seminaries. But I believe it's sinful. I believe it is sinful. I believe these institutions are sinful. I believe it's sinful to financially support them. I believe it's sinful in any way to endorse them because The problem with the missionary society that divided the church back in the late 1800s is because the missionary society was an organization that was not the church, that was trying to do the work God gave the church. And the faithful brethren argued that in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So this passage teaches the all-sufficiency of the church. And the church is completely sufficient to accomplish the work God gave the church, which includes educating its people in the scriptures and training men to be evangelists, elders, and deacons. So the church is all-sufficient. And any time an organization or an institution is established to do the work that God gave the church, that organization immediately, by its very existence, becomes a competitor with the church. It's sinful. And the principle of silence forbids makes these institutions wrong. And so, to me, there is no pro. I mean, your topic is pros and cons about these institutions. There's no pro. It's completely con because they're sinful institutions of men that compete with the church. The church is all-sufficient to accomplish the work God gave the church to do. Now, concerning these books, I believe I can learn from Joseph Henry Thayer. I believe I can learn from Arnton Gingrich. And I can learn from men. But when a man tells me with his voice, or he writes in a book and I read it off the page of the book he wrote, I'm not participating in an organization that was designed and instituted to compete with the Lord's church. And that's why I think we can learn from these books, although we need to be careful when we read those books, because they have poison in them. And we need to learn how to read with discretion and not just swallow everything. And that's the problem. Some people do not have the ability to read and distinguish between truth and error.
That's right.
And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 explains the reason they can't is because they've not exercised their senses to discern between good and evil.
George, are you saying that, like, you think it is a sin to, like, for an undergraduate to go to TCU, you know, which some of our people have done, and they have to take a history of religion course? So you think it's a sin even to do that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know enough about TCU.
Well, it's a religious institution. Okay. It could be any.
Well, then,
because they all require a Bible course, usually.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I don't think that's right. I'm thinking about Harding Graduate School, Harding University. These are religious. I don't believe that our brethren have the right to form organizations to teach and train people to be evangelists. That's the job of the church, not a university that's organized by men.
Well, I was just trying to determine what you were really saying. I certainly did not advise anyone to do that, you know, to go to a theological school. To me, that's different from, like, the kind of course I just
described. Well, we've got brethren that are going to seminaries, and they're getting degrees.
Right.
Just the fact they're enrolled in those seminaries, that itself is sinful. Even if they preach the truth when they go out from that seminary, being enrolled and supporting these seminaries is sinful.
Okay. Thank you.
Good talk, Joe. Really good. I wanted to comment on these books, but on this thing George just brought up. Now, I don't think it's wrong to go to TCU as a student to get a degree in business or communications or engineering or whatever. TCU is a public university now. It used to be a religious college. It's not
it's
so much anymore. It is.
Mm-hmm. It's supported by the Christian church.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but Kentucky University used to be a Christian school. It's not anymore. It's a public university. And I don't think it's wrong to take a religious class per se, like you said, like maybe Greek or the history of this or that or something that might be useful and appropriate. But when people are going to religious schools for the purpose of fulfilling that one of those kinds of mission statements and be made into some sort of seminary professional, I think that school by its very nature is a competitor to the church. And at least that part of it is, and that's not right. And I think that's basically what you were saying.
Yeah.
But on these books that you're asking about, there's some great things that have been written by people who are a long way removed from our thinking about things. And we need to read those books. They've taught us a lot of things. But most of the books written by people who are in the denominational world or the cult world are junk. And they will lead people straight to hell if they follow what's in those books. So, just like you said, people need to be extra careful, and they need to talk to people who know something about these books before they promote them or read them for themselves. Nathan promotes books and is doing a great job selling, providing people with good books to read. But he talks to people all the time about, is this a good book? Is it not a good book? And a lot of these books, even if they are a good book, there needs to be some caveat. There may be some point or two in that book that people need to watch out for. You need to be careful who you recommend it to. I mentioned this morning reading the Bible for All It's Worth by Fee and Stewart. And I hardly ever will recommend that book to anybody. I might have years ago, I might have recommended it to George or someone like him, but I would have said chapter 4 is worthless. And it's still worthless. And it's dangerous. But people who are not well grounded in the faith, you shouldn't recommend a book to them that might lead them astray. But there are good books that are written by people who are not in our group that do need to be read. And you need to talk to Ron Corder about a lot of those.
All right.
Like Uncle George was mentioning about the supporting the theological institutions, what about these writers who may be, you know, not necessarily, you know, following our views in everything, or if we buy their books, you know, are we, you know, supporting them? I mean, is that kind of the same thing, and should we be avoiding that, or what?
Okay, I'll let George answer.
Well, I don't know if I believe, I don't know how to answer that. I buy books that I can learn from. But I will not buy a book from a television evangelist who's offering a book where part of my proceeds are going to go to help their ministry. If I'm paying a man for a product that he has produced, I'm buying a product. And I'm not supporting his ministry. But if my purchasing this book is going to help support somebody's television program or ministry, then I'll wait until I find that book at Goodwill and buy it when it's not supporting him.
Labor's worth his hire. I'll pay him for the good part. But anyway. On this book thing, I'm not quite as sophisticated as some of these fellows expressed it. But you know, the books, all books are, they're just chicken and bone. And every book has some chicken in it, probably. Well, some don't. But most books, there's chicken and bone. And I think what we have to do there is we learn, become discerning between chicken and bone. And some people don't know chicken from bone. You don't give them a book that'll get a bone stuck in their throat. And there's some books that have a lot more chicken in them than what they do bone. And so there I do think by recommendation, we do learn good books, and these good books can be beneficial. I don't know the right phraseology for this, but there's been very good books written outside of our discipline, just put that in quotes, But when I find a book that has a lot of chicken in it, outside of our discipline, I'm interested in that because that's a verification and adds some objectivity to a lot of the criticisms that we might have. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I view books in that sense. And it is true, we need discernment and through experience, because there are a lot of books that there's a lot of slick slogans today that just hide a lot of false doctrine. My second comment, I think something we need to remember about referring to the church as a cult. Now, a lot of people who do that simply do it out of ignorant bias and prejudice. But really, probably what they learned that from, the phraseology, they learned that from a group of people who have referred to us as cults because of basically one doctrinal reason. And that reason is that group of people believe that salvation is based upon faith, mental assent alone. And because we teach that faith has to be expressed in obedience, especially baptism, that is why, basically, many of these groups refer to us as cults. And I think that just needs to be remembered. And if I may make one more comment.
Sure.
Talking about parachurch organizations. Parachurch organizations always take away from the church. And there's no better testimony of this than what quote-unquote is called the evangelicals. And even among them, some of them have written, and they lament today, here I'm using their accommodative language, speak, quote-unquote, those who they call Christians, and they say they're associated with no church. And they say, how did this come about? How did it come about? Because of some of their parachurch, college organizations, etc., that went out there and taught these people mental assent Christianity. That's how they came to know anything about Christ. And so they're just millions of them, I guess, who are divorced from the idea of Christianity and church going together. And that's really where that whole idea comes from today. We have a culture that has cultivated the idea you can have Christianity without the church. That's a biblical impossibility. And there's where the parachurch organization is so dangerous, so dangerous.
You know, I learned early on in my so-called career, that this was sort of a catchphrase that was used. You give a small job to a creative person and he'll make a big job out of it. And that's true. Well, that's exactly what's happened in the seminaries and schools of theology. The old school is not enough. You know, they're very bright people and they're creative people for the most part. And so they get involved in these theological discussions, and it begins to sound good, and it just, you know, turns into something that it was never intended to be to begin with. It becomes a parachurch organization then. And that's where it's come from. I want to tell you young people this. When Ron and I were young, at Sulphur, he taught us about bubble gum. I'll never forget it. From the pulpit. Today, he taught us about chicken and bone, so here we have it.
I always try to give you something to chew on.
That's right.
Hey, to set up my question, I wanted to ask about schools, not necessarily, or not colleges, not universities, but perhaps a K-12 school. You've got, I attended a Baptist school in and out through my childhood, my teenage years, and as far as morals, there were good rules, there were wholesome language, that rules about that modest dress that you wouldn't find at a public school, even though they had what they had on Thursday was a chapel, which was just, you know, of course, wrong, but at the public school, they've had things as bad as one high school had a gay-straight alliance, even. What are your thoughts about attending private schools like that?
Okay. You know, I'm like George and Alan. We need to, in my mind, I make a distinction between these higher, maybe it was Alan who said this and not George, but between these schools that are designed for the training of religious leaders and a school like you're talking about. A school like you're talking about has not set up an organization whose purpose is to take the place of the church. That's the way I see it. It is not in competition with the church as it is in the case of a school of theology or a seminary or a school of apologetics. Does that answer your question?
It wouldn't be wrong to attend a school like that, even though they had chapel with instrumental music, even though they had seventh period Bible classes where I would get questions wrong and I got points taken off because I would get the question wrong where it says we are saved by faith only. I'd get the question wrong. Things like that.
You know, with my children, I would be very careful about that kind of situation. You're asking me to condemn all religious private schools on that level, and I just can't do that. I'm sorry, you know, because this doesn't make it right or wrong, but we've had people in our congregation who sent their children to private schools. Some of you said you went. There are others in other places who have gone to private schools. The parents should be very careful if they do that. They should investigate the schools and see what they're going to teach. If doctrine is going to be taught, then it's problematic. It's a problem. But if not, that's a different situation. My answer is I would have to really evaluate the immediate school and situation. So if someone else wants to speak to this, I have no problem with it.
Clarify that. I was asking simply out of curiosity, didn't mean to ask you to condemn anything.
I think what you said, Joe, is essentially right. And earlier in your talk, you said people say it depends on the person. And I think this is important here. However, my wife went to a private, some sort of religious private school when she was in elementary school. And obviously, it didn't harm her in any way. But I know when we came home from Africa, we investigated sending our kids to a private school that was a Baptist organization. And we went there and we talked to the principal. They handed us a list of their doctrinal beliefs, mission statement, like you said. And I read down through there and I talked to this principal and I said, we'd kind of like for our kids to go here, but I don't want my children to be turned into a Baptist, just to be frank with you. Mm-hmm. And he would not reassure me that that wouldn't happen. I mean, he was very nice, but he carefully would not reassure me about that. And it might have been all right. It might have worked out fine. I mean, we were doing most of the teaching of our kids, more important teaching. But I just didn't think it was worth the chance in that particular instance. But what I'm saying is it depends on the kid, but you better be careful because in trying to escape the problems of public school, you may get in a situation that's very... it's much more difficult to recognize the evil. And so people do need to be careful about that.
Mm-hmm. Very careful.
We were talking a little bit earlier about people calling the Church of Christ a cult. A lot of times they're not necessarily talking about us. I don't know anything about the Indiana class, but a lot of times they're referring to Kip McKean and the Boston movement and the International Church of Christ, and they really aren't talking to us. Talk about us.
Very good, Joe. Sometimes I'm not certain about, you know, where we draw a line between what we say is, you know, that this is somebody's doing, you know, a private work or the work of the church. When Paul taught in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years there in Ephesus, that seemed to be some sort of philosophical school that he was therein. How do you feel about, would you teach in some school if you were teaching the Bible? I mean, it's like to give a sermon every day type thing. Is that wrong, or is this not your topic, or however you want to answer, that's fine.
Well, I think we could teach the truth. If we had to teach their curriculum, then there would be a problem. I think we could teach the truth. In fact, some of our people who have gone to Russia have gone to some, I don't know if they're public or private or what over there, but they've gone into the schools and they've taught the Bible in trying to teach them English. So I don't see anything wrong with that, as long as we're not told we can't teach the truth. You know, we would teach in just about anywhere if they let us teach the truth. Our preachers have always gone into other churches, not to worship on the Lord's Day, but, you know, to teach if they allow them to teach the truth.
This is the question. The school Tyrannus, is this a matter of Paul was teaching in a institution, or was just a school, a place that he utilized that was referred to as the school Tyrannus from which he taught?
I don't know.
We don't know, right? We don't know. I mean, that's answered both ways.
Okay.
It's the fact that he was associated with that school. I'm sure it's what Paul thought was the truth.
Yeah, well, I don't question Paul teaching the truth either.
Yeah. Y'all are doing good.
But no, I just was wondering. He used that facility. But there's no indication that in some way he was tied into it.
No.
Yeah.
To say that I don't think I was misunderstood, but I in no way recommend that anyone go to one of these institutions of higher education whose purpose is to train religiously. Seminaries, schools of apologetics, schools of theology. I would not sanction that in any way.